Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy, let's get it.
If every game could be like this, oh, what a 2021 season we're going to have in the National Football League.
You stole that from Elvis Presley.
Oof. Oh.
For if every day could be just like Christmas, what a wonderful world this could be. 271 to go. Let's go.
So now it's going to be I celebrate all 272. Is that what it's
going
to be?
Damn right.
All right.
Plus 16 this year, buddy.
I've had 7 years of you saying, I celebrate all 256 of them. So I guess
you say like it's a bad thing.
No, I'm just saying. You say that for the last 7 years.
You got to be consistent.
That is right.
Exactly.
The Bucks beat the Cowboys 31-29. A field goal with 2 seconds left does it for the Bucks. There are so many angles to talk about this game. We got a very special guest coming up in a couple minutes who's going to help us break it down. But let me just say this. Clearly an offensive pass interference on the Chris Godwin play. All right. While the Bucks are driving in the final 90 seconds, Chris Godwin pushes off the DB and catches a big pass that basically cinches the game because it puts the Bucks in easy field goal range. And Sukup comes in and makes the field goal, and okay, we're good to go. But here's the thing. There was still a lot of time left. It was a 24-yard play. Brady still had 30 seconds. Did you really think the Bucks weren't going to get down there in field goal range? I mean, maybe they don't get down to the 15-yard line, but how many more plays were the Bucks able to run? Because Brady's so good at running the no huddle. They ran seven plays. Right? They ran seven plays. They would have been able to get down there, and it would have been in spot for the field goal to go, and it wasn't going to change the outcome of this game. Now, it certainly helped, and you'd like to see the OPI called because that's going to push them back. But in the end, you really think they weren't going to get down there and kick the field goal? It's kind of what Tom Brady does.
Yeah, rarely lose the turnover battle substantially as the Buccaneers did tonight and walk away with a victory, right? Touchdown by Godwin when he gave it up, right? Good play by the defense, but going in and just absolutely insane. And to your mind, it was a penalty. You know what? They looked the other way. No flag came out. It's like the foul you look for as a coach in your daughter's soccer game. Sometimes it's not there, buddy. You got to play through the whistle. No whistle came. Godwin smiled and moved those chains.
Joining us now on the hotline is a guest. I don't know if he's going to be excited and buoyed by what he saw or just be pissed. He is Sports Illustrated, fantasy, football, maven, a fantasy Hall of Famer, longtime friend of the show, longtime friend of mine, and the biggest Cowboys fan I know, Michael Fabiano. Fabs, what's happening, buddy?
What's happening?
Hey, buddy!
Cowboys result. That's what's happening.
So this is going to be angry, Michael Fabiano.
It's fine.
Hey, we played well.
Fine. Listen, I get a lot of crap because of the teams I root for. Being a Cowboys fan in the last 30 years has not been all rainbows, and you promise you that right now. It's been pretty brutal. And another loss like this, that was certainly an OPI, but you know what? It probably wouldn't have mattered because Brady still would have got him in field goal range because it's Tom Brady. I guess if I can pull a few positives out of this, the Cowboys were a 9-point dog. They battled until the end. They forced some turnovers, a couple were not, and the offense looked bananas good, which is really good for fantasy because this game looked a lot like the games the Cowboys were playing in the first 5 weeks before Dak got hurt in 2020. Defense is trash. Offense is amazing. So there's going to be a lot of fantasy points scored for the Cowboys and for their opponents next week, SoFi Stadium against the Chargers, and I will be at the game. So hopefully I'll bring a little bit of good juju to the Cowboys and we can square it up at 1-1 in terms of the record. But it was a fun game. I just continue to be amazed at Tom Brady. I mean, 44 years old, he's doing things that no quarterback in the history of this league has ever done before at this age. He's just unreal. We should all be eating avocado ice cream and be married to supermodels, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's the key to long-term success in your career. But am I bummed they lost? Of course. But it's typical. I mean, I'm used to it. And the Yankees, all of a sudden, we suck now. So
yeah.
I can't swear on the air, but if I could, I'd drop a few four-letter words right now.
No, I think you buddy, just need listen. To pause. It'll be okay.
No, I'm going to make it okay for you, buddy. Forget about avocado ice cream.
Here we go.
You want the Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier arm that Dak Prescott apparently has, throwing it 58 times for 403 yards tonight. Dude, he's going to win the MVP. Because they're going to throw the ball all season long. He's going to put up incredible stats. The Cowboys are better than anybody thought they'd be. They'll win that craptastic division that you play in. And Dak's going to throw for 6,000 yards and 45 touchdowns. And he's going to be the NFL MVP.
At the end of the day, that's nice. But it's not going to bring home a Vince Lombardi trophy. I'm rooting for fantasy points.
You
so got to
take
that,
your
that
wins where you get
thing.
Them. You know what? Just take your wins where you can get them with the
Look,
Dallas
man,
Cowboys.
I write a
that's
blog called
saying.
Find
Listen,
Your Wins. So, you know, just
I
get
have got
board.
A ton. I've got a ton of Dak shares. I've got a ton of Cooper shares. I've got a ton of CeeDee Lamb shares. And for everyone out there who's going to, you know, complain about Zeke tonight, listen, that was not about Zeke. The Cowboys decided that once the Buccaneers' defensive backfield was absolutely just shredded because of injuries, they were going to attack through the air. They didn't run the ball very much. That's going to change. So anybody out there in fantasy who is freaked out that Zeke went basically belly up tonight, it will get better. Trust me. This was what the Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore and head coach Mike McCarthy saw in terms of a defense that has very few weaknesses. They exploited one tonight because they had a couple of guys go down in the defensive backfield, and they just decided we're going to chuck the ball. And I guess Dak's shoulder is okay, right, Smith?
Yeah, I want to give you a lot of credit right there because you've done something that Dak Prescott, you know, campaign manager, Jason Smith will not, is to acknowledge the fact that suddenly there were cornerbacks 4, 5, and 6 running around on the field
yep.
for the
yep.
Buccaneers today. So, yes, but you take advantage of what comes up there and you roll through. But to your point, yeah, I had no idea what to expect of Dak. I did a bunch of spots today and, like, where do you put him? I'm like, back end QB1 with a big question mark next to it. Offensive line issues against a good defense. I don't know what the shoulder is, but I just it goes back to we can't trust anything that's on an injury report until the guy's officially on IR or plays for the Baltimore Ravens and has RB next to his name.
Yeah, the Ravens have had some bad luck, boy. I mean, can you guys remember a team losing their top three running backs in the span of, what, 2 weeks? It's just, wow. And now they have like, really great fantasy running backs from, like, 5 years
yeah.
ago, right? I mean,
yeah.
they have
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
Le'Veon
yeah.
Bell, Devontae yeah. Freeman, sure. and now they signed Latavius Murray.
Yay!
Now, hey, I'm being told right now that we have a special caller on the line who is a
oh,
fan
wow. okay.
of both of all of ours, used to watching us all on NFL Fantasy Live. And now I don't know what's going on here. I'm being told, so I'm in the dark like you. I'm being told his name is Roger, and we need to go to him right now. Roger, are you on the air with us?
I am. This is great listening to y'all. I called in.
Oh, boy. Hey, buddy.
I thought it was, you know, I was listening, and I said, you know, I used to see these guys, and I had to call in, and I hung up, and I called back, and I hung up, and I called back, and I hung up, and just listening to y'all's analysis, I got to tell you, it's great. And I just want to say, I agree so much about that. Throwing the ball 58 times. I'm going to tell you, no Dallas thrower has thrown it like that since Charlie Huff in 88. I'm going to tell you all right now.
Nicely done.
Wait a minute. I think this is H.L. Snyder, right? No. Is this H.L. Snyder? No, I don't know who that is. This is Roger Turdlittle from Tallahassee.
Oh, Mr. Turdlittle, how are you?
Yeah, now I'm a big fan. Jason, I remember when you used to host that show. You were so smooth. Okay, you were great and Fab. The one thing I always wanted to know is, Fab, are you related to that guy that played for the Vikings that was on Hill Street Blues? Ed Marinaro, is that a cousin of yours?
No, my name's Fabiano, not Marinaro.
or marinara.
I'm a big fan. No, either one of those. I love Bud Grant's teams. I saw a lot of that kind of football out there tonight, tell y'all.
Hey, Roger, what do you think of a guy who used to be on with us? You know, he was on NFL Network for a long time. His name was Elliot Harrison. I don't know what he's doing now. I heard he was doing analytics for the Cowboys, but then I think he lost his gig. Something happened. I think he got in an argument with Tony Pollard. But, I, you know, because I thought he was a really good dude. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, you know, he was probably my fifth favorite. It was you two guys for sure. Dan Mashek, I was a big fan. And I thought Brian Baldinger was great on that show. But, you know, I never knew what happened to that Harrison guy, but I'll tell you a funny story. We were out, me and the wife, we went and saw Air Supply at the outdoor venue over here. And they played Lost in Love with a full orchestra, and there was Harrison playing keys. And I didn't know, was he a keyboard player when you guys were doing the show?
Yeah, we had the keyboard player for a little while. Then we didn't have the money, so we had to excise him from the band. It was tough.
I'd like to go back and make a hardcore football point straight out of the oven here. I'm going to tell you right now, speaking of Bud Grant running backs, when Chuck Foreman used to do the spin move, he covered up the ball after the spin. You know what I'm saying? I think Chris Godwin could take a little bit of that in his game, don't y'all think?
Fabs, why don't you take that one, Fabs?
Yeah, certainly. Chris Godwin had that fumble near the goal line, cost the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a touchdown. That didn't matter at the end of the day. The Cowboys still lost. So, Mr. Turd Little, are you a Cowboys fan? Not since Gary Hogaboom. Once he did Survivor, I was out.
Oh, boy. A Hogaboom reference now.
Oh, boy.
We've run the gamut of some 50 years of the National Football League.
I'll tell you, this is what Fabiano's birthday party was like a couple of weeks ago. This is how the conversations all went.
And the wives and girlfriends all gravitated elsewhere.
You know what, Jason?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something.
What do you got?
So a couple weeks ago, I was on Fabs' radio show, and he asked me an Ed Marinaro trivia question. You know, like I'm supposed to be going on there, answering questions about like serious players that were significant in fantasy. And he gives me an Ed Marinaro question. So that's where that came from. My second point, I don't care what excuses Fabs is making for Ezekiel Elliott. Even early in the game, Dallas wanted no part of trying to run the ball on Tampa Bay's front. Now, I will say Tampa Bay's front is really good. But did you guys watch the game? Did y'all see Ezekiel Elliott make anyone miss tonight?
Nope.
No. He's a guy. He's a good guy. He's a good player. But this is not a guy that's going – if it ain't blocked, he's not getting that many yards unless he puts his head down. And I get he's a physical player sometimes, but I don't know, man. I don't think this is the same player. I don't know what you guys think. I'll hang up and listen. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
That was well done.
Well, I'll tell you, for the next 2 years, it's going to be Cowboy fans going, why are we paying this guy? We don't need him. I mean, they didn't pay Dak Prescott all that cash to hand the ball off, and clearly Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a spare part. But you can't do anything because he's $30 million in dead cap money the next 2 years.
Wait a minute, Jason. Are you saying the Cowboys overpaid for a player? Like, Elliott, that never happens, right?
It's a shock, yes.
All the time. Yeah.
Deep breaths, guys. Just one of 17.
Telling you. You're going to get these 9-carry, 35-yard games from Ezekiel Elliott, and you're going to get 50 times they're going to throw the football because they're Dak-driven.
That's right. It reminds me like when you were younger and your mom, you went to the grocery store, and, you know, she splurged for you. She got the Totino's frozen pizza instead of the Safeway Select brand. And you thought, okay, we're going to have a good frozen. And then you realize it's just frozen pizza. It's no different than the other frozen pizza. That's pretty much what it is with the running back.
Smith was more of a fan of Leo's frozen pizza.
You can follow Elliot Harrison on Twitter at HarrisonNFL.
He tweeted today for the first time in 2 years.
I know. That's why I'm mentioning it.
Welcome home.
Welcome back, EH. Welcome back, my friend.
I love this song. This is a great tune. Did you guys know Ed Marinaro was on Hill Street Blues? I don't think y'all did.
Did you know Ed Marinaro sang this song on Hill Street Blues?
He did not.
Now that would be something.
Michael Fabiano on Twitter at @Michael_Fabiano, Sports Illustrated Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Great catching up with you guys, even though the Cowboys lost. But as Chris Berman would say at the end of the highlights, and better days ahead for the Dallas Cowboys this season.
Let's hope so.
All right, I'll talk to
you
guys.
Boys.
Outstanding. There they go, man. I'll tell you. That's what Fabiano's birthday party was like 2.5 weeks ago. The end of the night was me and Fabs and Harrison, 2 o'clock in the morning, doing NFL trivia with each other. Who was the last quarterback to play for both the Jets and the Cowboys? All right, in 1980, I mean, that's what the party, that's my kind of party. And that's what the party was, the three of us doing that. But yeah, after leaving NFL Network 2 years ago, Elliot Harrison back. And again, he tweeted today for the first time in 2 years. It was awesome to hear from. I had a feeling that's who it was. Just awesome to catch up with those guys. We're catching up with Jay Glazer coming up next right here, Fox Sports Radio. Cowboys, Bucks, don't go anywhere. Must listen radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. As entertaining an opening game as we have seen in some time, Cowboys and the Buccaneers, it looked like the Cowboys could get out of there with a victory, but when you give the ball to Tom Brady with 90 seconds left to go, you know how it's going to end. The game-winning field goal for the Bucs coming with 2 seconds left on the clock, and they win it 31-29, a game the Cowboys could have flipped the other way had they made a field goal from 31 yards and an extra point, but Greg Zuerlein really struggled tonight. Who did not struggle? Dak Prescott, 403 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Tom Brady, 379 and 4 touchdowns. You had big nights receiving from Amari Cooper and Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski. It was that kind of night. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show. He's on Twitter at Jay Glazer. It is Jay Glazer. Jay, if every game is like this year, I think we'll be okay.
I think we'll be okay. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know what? You're sitting there, it's almost like, wait, I know it's the greatest reality show in America, but is it the greatest scripted reality show? Because they couldn't script something like this. Mm. They could, but they couldn't. Like, it's just like, and it was great too, man, just seeing Brady with, you know, minute 45, whatever he had, to come and carve them up, and just the look on his face, like, oh, man, I got this. Like, you just know you can't give him time. And look, guys, I've talked to you guys on here several times about the greatness of Tom Brady. And I've always said, like, man, he just outworks everybody in every way possible. And, you know, I've told players that we've trained, listen, he's the best. Find out what Tom Brady does and do more than him. And I will have consistently have guys over the years saying, oh, no, I can't do that. He does too much. There's no too much, man. If you want to be great, that's what you got to do.
A big price to be paid, absolutely.
That's the only part, Jay, that was scripted on this was, oh, Brady's got the ball back with 90 seconds. It's going to be a game-winning field goal. That was the only part that was scripted of this game. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's just incredible. You know, once you got – you know, he got the ball back with Tom, you're like, oh, no shot. Just that pass to Godwin. The way he placed it, I'll tell you who's going to have a big year is, and I don't know if I'm, you know, certainly not reinventing the wheel here, but Antonio Brown, because here's an Antonio Brown who now had a whole year with them, feels loved. I think that some of the issues that he had in the past are probably over on the side because now he has a home and a family that he's not the guy and doesn't have to be the guy. He's not, if he tries to be a brand, he won't be on the team. It's the best thing that could ever happen to him. And so here's where I saw a difference in Antonio Brown. I'm standing on the sidelines of Buccaneers, Titans, when they were practicing, standing with Rondae Barber. And, you know, Rondae had more consecutive games played than anybody in the NFL when he retired. And I don't know if you guys know that or not. But, man, Rondae did not miss a game in 15 or 16 straight years. And he's a little, you know, 179-pound cornerback. And Antonio Brown came running over and sought him out and said, hey, Rondae. And I'm standing there with Rondae. Rondae. So it wasn't that, and I, you know, he's not friends with AB, doesn't talk to AB, doesn't see AB ever. And AB comes running over, seeks him out, and says, hey, man, I mean to talk to you. What did you do for at the end of your career to get more longevity? And kind of took Ronde back. Okay, well, this is what the ABI expected. And he said, look, you know, I did a lot for my body. What did you do for your body? So he's like asking, what did you do for your body? Well, I did this and this and this and this and this and this. As I got older, I tried to do this. Okay, so what else did you do? He said, ABI watched so much film, so much, that I knew before the ball was snapped, whether it was run, pass, snap count, where it was going. So I had great anticipation. But I just had to put more work in as my body got older. And and AB was just soaking it up. And he walks away, and Ronde turns to me and goes, did not expect that. And I don't think anybody would have expected that if you saw the AB from the Hard Knocks from 2 years ago, right? So I think he's now in a place where, man, if he just is a cog, is just an anonymous dude, and he's so incredibly talented, but he can get back to being, you know, just that, I think he's going to be – he could be an issue. Because if he can be the old Antonio Brown for this team, he could be a problem.
Talking about all the buy-in, all the starters returning, the great expectations. Dak Prescott, I had no idea what to expect of this, Jay. Coming in tonight, doing, you know, radio as we do every night, and hits across the country. It's like, what it's do you incredible. Expect? I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's incredible. That guys, look what happened last year. His leg turned around.
Right.
There are other, like Alex Smith was out for what, 4 years? Right? Zach Miller, career over. Like, this was a spiral fracture. Like, there are guys, if infection goes in there, you're done. And he comes back the next year. I don't think people fully understand the magnitude of what he came back from. I really don't. It's something that had an infection got into his leg. We're talking about a guy who not only could he not play, but is he going to have his leg? And the moment, so he was there. They got made sure so infection didn't come in. They had to have the leg open for a little bit. And then once they sutured it up after they did the surgery, he immediately started going back to the facility without a contract. Started going back to the facility, working, rehabbing there. In a losing season, working with the guy, teaching it. Like, it's like that. I've always had a huge respect for Dak. People have ragged on him, and you rag on him because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys. That position gets more attention than every position in sports combined. But Dak Prescott is a gangster.
Jay Glazer with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And, you know, and overall, Jay, you know, look, we talked about Dak and how this Dallas Cowboys offense is going to evolve. And, you know, maybe they don't throw the football 60 times a game, but they're going to throw it a ton. I think the Cowboys are a little bit better than everybody thought they'd be. I mean, yeah, they came up short in this game, but another couple of kicks by Greg Zuerlein that go one way or the other, maybe it's a different outcome.
And listen, if Zach Martin was in there, I don't know if Vita Vea would be able to, you know, he was kind of bullying Connor Williams, and that was a lot of issues. Probably not going to happen with Zach Martin in there. But, yeah, you know, I think the thing with Dallas, too, is, man, they need Zeke to somehow, I don't know if he's ever going to be the old Zeke, but they need it, right? I think in their minds, he still is going to be the old Zeke, who they just paid, but I don't know if that guy's there anymore. If this team is really going to be elite, they need a guy like Zeke to play like a top three running back. That's it. There's no ands or ifs or buts about it. Can't just be middle of the road or top 10. He's got to be top flight. And if he's top flight and man, if you know he and Dak are so close, that's the best thing you can do for your friend Dak. You've really got to get yourself focused and be a top three running back in this league.
Jay, I got to ask the obvious question then to wrap it up. Celebratory drink for Bruce Arians. What's he pouring?
That's the wrong question. Totally wrong question.
Okay.
What's he not pouring is the question we want to know.
Fair point. Fair point. Yes.
Hey, I want to make mention before we go here, ma'am. I don't ever talk about 9/11, and I know it's a big week. I don't talk about it because those of us who were down there, the things that we saw, I didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. None of us signed up for it down there. And, man, you know, for me, 9/11 obviously means different because I lost one of my best friends and I was down there looking for him. And I just try and blot that out. But our vets, at 9/11 was what spurned on MVP. It got me so into our military, admired them so much that I'm like, my God, I didn't sign up for this. yet these guys are leaving their own families to go sign up to see this stuff. The admiration is incredible. But before tonight's game, gang, I was down there the whole week looking for my friend. And I didn't know what was going to happen tonight, but the start of the game, did you guys see the family that they honored? Mm-hmm. At the start of the game, mm-hmm. It was a Kane yeah. family. It was my friend's family. Had no idea.
No kid.
Oh, wow. Really?
Had no idea. It was an out-of-body experience. I couldn't believe it. I was just, of all the families, and, you know, his daughters will reach out periodically to find out more about, you know, what kind of, how he was and what kind of dad was and one of the daughters last year. It just goes to show that, you know, the effects. If one of the daughters reached out that she was getting married and she was just, you know, it's still a struggle for them because they were so afraid to lose a male figure in their life. And just the you know, the effects that it left to these people and these families. And the fact that these first responders and these military vets and these heroes, and yes, heroes. You use the term, but holy crap, are they heroes. Where they stepped up for it. Guys, I think I'm one of the toughest dudes in the world. But the stuff that I saw, I can't handle, and I don't talk about it all. And they stepped up into it. So God bless every one of you that took some of that off of us. And that's, you know, I will say this, that for my friend Jake, man, I love you, dude, who's up there. And without you, MVP wouldn't have started. So I love you, dude.
Jay is on Twitter at Jay Glazer. You can get more information on MVP, merging vets and players, and unbreakable performance.
I couldn't
right
believe
there.
It.
Oh, wow, Jay. That's a great that's story, man. That's
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
No hey, idea, because well, I try and separate myself from everything that happens
sure.
down there because it just takes too much time. It's just not time. It just takes too much out of you. And the family understands. I talk to them about it, and, you know, we all love each other. I just stepped away from it because it's like, I asked, when it happened, I asked his family and everybody in our crew to stay back in Jersey because they were all married with kids, and I wasn't. So I'm like, hey, let me go through all this and let me be the messed up one. Y'all don't need to see this stuff. And that's how we did it. So, man, it was just so great to see them. It was so great to see the whole family up there getting honored. I'm still struggling with the fact that it was them.
No, the emotion comes through, Jay. Good thoughts with you and all those, and you stated it so beautifully.
Like I said, those who perished, those who suffered, it was not all for naught. It really started a beautiful movement that I've started with MVP, and it was because of what happened that day that got me so incredibly into the military and admiring them, saying, you know what, I now want to save them. And I think if I could save them, they could help save the world. So it was, it's something horrible led to something I think is going to end up being really beautiful.
Jay, keep fighting the good fight, man. Always great stuff. Always love talking about stuff like
love
this,
you, man.
Love you, man.
Look forward to seeing you on Sunday with all the boys.
Can't wait.
All right.
Can't wait, man.
Family
wait.
Back together. Let's go.
All right. There goes Jay Glazer.
The best.
Phenomenal stuff there from Jay. Absolutely. And, yeah, I know. Look, we'll talk about it tomorrow. You know, we'll be on the eve of 9/11, the 20th anniversary of it. But there's Jay, and what an incredible story that he didn't even know that's the family of his friend that he was looking for. Outstanding stuff. Again, for more information on merging vets and players, unbreakable performance, as Jay always says, it's okay to not be okay if you need help. If you're someone that fought for the country, find it right there. Again, it's on his Twitter page. At Jay Glazer. Also go to Vets and Players on Twitter as well for more information.
Yeah, National Suicide Prevention Week too. So, you know, check in on your people.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. It can happen easily. Few drinks become a few too many. Time to go. You think of calling for a ride home. Nah, what's the worst can happen? You get pulled over. You lose your license. You total your car. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. So I am kind of in the forefront of the Dak Prescott MVP bandwagon. Right now, I've told you many times why and how Dak can win the MVP, because I've been in this business for a long time and I know how this is going to play beginning tomorrow. That's why 2 days ago I said, look, you have to have the storyline, you have to have the attention, and that's how you become an MVP frontrunner, because we start talking about it in the NFL way earlier than we should. But it doesn't matter. It happens that way.
We're talking about it right now.
Right.
The game's barely, it's not even cold yet.
I know. I'm telling you. Tom Brady had a great night, but we've seen Tom Brady play like this. Dak Prescott, 58 passes, 403 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Nearly pulled off the upset. May have done so if Greg Zuerlein had a better night kicking. But what's going to happen is Dak Prescott, Cowboys quarterback, is going to be Dak Prescott grabbing the news cycle starting tomorrow on all the daytime talk shows, on the radio, Dak, Dak, Dak. The Cowboys gave him all this money so he would throw the football. They didn't give him this kind of money to hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott. So he's going to continue to throw the football all season long. Cowboys are going to be at the top of the NFC East because, look, they're better than people thought, and that division is craptastic. So Dak Prescott's going to have this around him the entire year, this aura of look how good he is. He's going to throw for 300 to 400 yards every week. He's going to throw for 2 or 3 touchdowns every week, and the Cowboys will win enough games. That's going to be enough to keep Dak Prescott in the forefront of the MVP conversation. Plus, when you're the quarterback of the Cowboys, there's that bit of, however oblique or however desirous that you are in the media or fans to say, boy, let's give something to Dak Prescott because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys. He got paid. Now we can talk about Dak Prescott being the MVP. There's going to be an overriding desire to have that discussion. And so that's why I knew Dak's going to own the conversation. All he's got to do is be the guy he was before the injury. Clearly, he's okay. He's got a Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier arm that was no problem throwing the football as much as he did tonight. And then you get Magic Johnson tweeting following the game tonight. With this performance, Dak will be the MVP of the NFL this year. Welcome to the bandwagon, Magic Johnson. I've been in front of it for a few days now. Congratulations. You can have a seat right up front next to me so we can talk. That'll be great.
Is he spinning the ball on his finger in the photo associated? I want the Magic Hour back. Look, when it comes down to it, we know all of those are there. You forgot the most important one. Hard Knocks in that opening scene of, here's the zipper on his leg. Look at it. Look, I think the shoulder injury, I really am coming around to the idea that it's fraudulent.
They just kept him out. Listen, we stink last year. Let's just stay out.
Well, it was all a preseason injury, right? That wasn't the cause of anything. He was working in the background and making sure the ankle sound. Look, as soon as he started scrambling a bit tonight, it's like, all right, that question's answered. And then he proceeds to throw the ball 60 times. Great. Control, because the big thing is also time of possession, right? Completions, short crossing routes, getting those guys in motion, making plays. Look, Michael Gallup, ankle injury. He was limping off a bit after the game, so one to watch as you go. But, yeah, all of those things that you mentioned add up to a nice storyline, so long as they win.
And you don't have to win and go 13-4. You just have to win to be at the top of the NFC East, because what's missing from the Cowboys last year? Dak Prescott. Now look where he is. They're at the top. They just beat the Eagles. The Eagles stink.
They were also missing a functional defense before he did get hurt.
Doesn't matter.
Those numbers were getting piled up. And it looks like, and look, today is not the best barometer because you're going up against a team that returned everybody. And a really good, efficient offense led by the GOAT. So making an evaluation of how good or bad this defense is going to be, probably not a fair statement one way or the other coming out of this. The idea that Dan Quinn's there and you got Micah Parsons, I've got to think you've at least inched better so you're not a bottom feeder when it's all said and done. But they're going to need Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to have to. It's either him or Tony Pollard. One of those guys is going to have some value.
See, that's the thing. I don't know that they do. I mean, we'll get into that coming up in a few minutes. I don't know that it matters, because the Dak Prescott MVP conversation is just going to take on a life of its own.
You're going to do this every day. Do I have to use up all my vacation time already?
Listen, you may have to. Listen, this is done on lots of other really early morning shows. This is not me saying, hey, I'm suddenly going to be that guy, be that big hot take artist. I'm saying I know how the world works. I know how the sports world works. It's not going to matter to anybody else how the defense is, or if the Bucks were missing all
their
defensive
backs. You know what, it matters to me, because I'm going to be that guy shouting.
That's great.
I'll be wearing my Death Eater's mask and carrying around a megaphone like I'm freaking Malfoy going out. Yeah, that's right. Striking fear into the hearts of everybody.
There were more than reports, Lucius, and there were more than whispers. It doesn't matter. It's going to take on a life of its own. It's like birthing this, and now I just have to watch it. You know, I have to watch it happen, and that's how it's going to go. And the mantle will be picked up tomorrow morning, and then it will continue on, and look at that. That's all that matters. If he's producing and the Cowboys are top of the NFC East, Dak Prescott MVP. That's why I said it 2 days ago. That's how
did
it's
going to go.
Did
you bet it?
Maybe I did.
I don't think you did.
Maybe I'm going to make a lot of money on this.
I think you would have been trumpeting the fact that you had if you actually had.
I bet Zach Wilson for MVP. Don't
tell me. There you go.
Hey, more on this game, including what is definitely not a hot take, but is happening. That's next right here, Fox.